County Clean Water Commission meeting for Wednesday, September 7th, 2018. Anyway, welcome everyone. Let's take a look at our agenda. So after we do the roll call, you'll notice that we've got our packet. We'll look at the meeting summary. Your notes were incredibly extensive from last meeting, and I read them all. Very impressive.
Thank you.
Anyway, we'll open up for public comments. And then, as you can see, we are going to chat about the term expiration of commissioners coming up at the end of this year. There are working group updates. Looks like we have an annual errata update. And then talk about our field visit plans, discussion time, public comments, and then we shall adjourn. So, Mr. Sheehan, yes. Welcome. So, we shall now go through and we shall do roll call. So, Dick Reitinger here. Kate sent me an email and said for job reasons she shan't be here this evening, so she's excused. Jeremy?
Present.
Marie?
Yeah.
David?
Here.
David? David 1 or David 2?
Suffice.
David Meyer sent a note and said that he is all from Eastern Oregon. Greg Schaefer. Mark Schneider apparently is running about 10 or 15 minutes late, so he should be here again. Holly Norris.
Present.
So it appears that we have a quorum when we conduct this. Jerry, you're up. Or you're at home? Signed in? Good. All right, so the first thing on the agenda is to take a look at your meeting summary notes. We have about 4.5 panels. But I presume, or hopefully, everybody had a chance to read them via email. So, you have an opportunity if you see anything in here that you want to change, alter, or update, please so do.
No, I didn't have any comments. I didn't hear all that.
Okay. Anybody else?
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
I'll accept the motion to accept the minutes.
Second.
Any discussion? No discussion? Please indicate your acceptance by saying aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Motion passes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 0. Okay. So those passed. Thank you very much. Well, I've been over to OHSU all day.
Oh, okay.
I managed to get back across to the house, jump back up our umbrella. That's my wife, what she's going to do. And she said, well, she had a granddaughter all day. She says, absolutely nothing. Just do nothing. Have an egg sandwich or something. Anyway, sorry. Before we get moving forward, do we have any public comments? No public comments. Seeing no one from the public, which is probably will close this public comment session. We're going to the agenda here. So let's move on to item number 3, which is presentation, discussion, recommendations, and actions. First item on the agenda is discussion of a term expiration of commissioners coming up at the end of the year. And on that we show.
So there are three commissioners who whose terms are expiring, Marie LaManna, David McDevitt, and David Meyer. So they've all received an email about what they need to do. They need to send a letter to Jennifer Clark of intent to continue on the commission if they want to continue by the end of September.
Yes.
So if that doesn't happen, then a public notice will go out in early October about the vacancies.
Okay. David,
I haven't got that email yet, so.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
So.
We will make sure you get me to dig around and look for it.
Okay. I sent it to the Gmail, so if I should send it somewhere else, just let me know. But I'll make sure to resend it
as
well.
Look for it.
Okay.
Got it.
Yes.
It may have just gotten lost in the shuttle.
Okay.
Was that recent?
It would have been, I think, late last week, mid to late last week.
Although I don't have a most recent update, David Meyer had indicated previously that he did not want to apply. He said that between his personal life, his working life, etc., that things have been incredibly hectic. So unless he changes his mind, we may well assume that he will apply.
Okay.
Right. So anything else on that topic?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. Next item, working group updates. So any feedback? I know one group in particular has been an outstanding
event. And we were invited out, well, earlier this summer we made a presentation there. But 2 weeks ago, Jenny and I made a presentation to a local kind of grassroots sort of group called Green Drinks. And they went swimmingly well.
So we didn't have a slide projector, so we didn't have our notes in front of us. It was very informal around the table discussion. And we had some big questions, which I did post on the handy sheet and on the Google Docs for our discussions. And there's some follow up. Mr. Bilbin, I'm Bill Weber.
So anything specifically you guys picked up from that, that it shows us as far as further, public, awareness?
You mentioned the groups themselves, perhaps, that we should reach out to those groups.
Okay.
And then they talk about what they're doing and the guests that they're sponsoring, so that's all shared, too. So I actually invited some of the people that I work with, some of the scientists, to go to the next one, which is going to be at Warehouse 23 on September 28th.
Let me check this down. Is this something September 28th?
Wednesday.
And Warehouse 23?
Yeah, that's that new one that each is opened up in the older line.
Yeah. And what's that one going to be about?
It's just informal. You just go where you used to talk about something. They have people come in. They have a website.
So
that would be great. Yeah. Great.
Super.
Thanks. Yeah, as far as, well, I know, what was the environmental services liaison? What was his name again?
Chris Clifford.
Chris Clifford, just put my name in.
Oh, well,
yeah. So on the green school programs, we were just kind of getting ready to set up a time where we could meet and he could get me caught up on basically everything that we've done as a commission to work with them. And then everything got restructured. I still attempted to email him. I probably don't need that, but it would have been some great, just kind of catch me up, because that's just where I was wanting to kind of put my time into the youth, you know, and just, you know, see what I can.
Let you and I talk. I've actually communicated in the past with several people from leadership.
Okay.
Okay. So it's
offline. Okay, so it kind of guided me in the right direction. That would be great.
Yeah, because they did note that for the Green Schools program, the county has actually mitigated a significant amount of money from Vancouver schools.
Yeah.
$1,000, I believe. So they've actually been involved enough and completed certain programs to actually get their fees reduced significantly.
Yeah,
this county has the
most. Vancouver's been the leader.
Yeah, it has.
Vancouver School District, Evergreens, some.
Yes.
But once you get outside those, Battleground, Ridgefield, Council, Oshugo.
Yeah.
But they're still the leaders in, I mean, this is the county is still, the leaders still.
But so in the words, it can work.
Yes.
It can be useful to kids, and they can get money back.
Yeah, it can be. And at one time, more schools were involved in the county, and then I think interest waned. So we are actually starting to get more inquiries about the fee reduction program.
And with the recent scares with the lead and everything, you know, the testing that, I think the interest will definitely peak again. You know, in the schools, I think is a really just a great place to.
For those who weren't here at the time when John Benton was in and actually went pretty harsh, a couple of years ago with the school districts, and we actually ended up having guests in the room talking to us, making comments, and some of the school districts saying, well, we did this, we did that, and it was well worth proving the evidence. I mean, things really got testy. And the Columbian jumped in with both feet and was writing articles about it as well. It was kind of an interesting little mess. So I didn't put my experience so far is that, you know, if they can show that they meet certain programs, certain criteria, implementation of these school programs, school districts can shape money off of their bills.
Yeah.
You know, just the question is if they want to make the effort.
And that could be a, you know, double bonus.
So, yeah, we can talk about that.
I think, you guys brought up, who brought this last meeting? Was it you, Marie? The workshop on well and septic systems the time? So I was really interested in this. I didn't get to make it, so I looked on the website, and there is another one coming up on the 10th in Battleground. So there's plenty of tickets left. If anybody's interested in kind of checking that out, I'm going to be there. It's just on learning the stewardship of farmland and water and septic systems. So.
And on the 10th of
this
September,
month, yeah, September.
Where in Battleground?
It is. I have. You're supposed to call them. You have to purchase the tickets. It's only $10.
Okay.
But I have the name and number. Anybody needs it? It's at 10 a.m.
Any other working group updates?
Yeah.
Actually, the subsection of that is the bylaws updates. Mm-hmm. So you got here. So
yeah, just in time.
So we emailed those out. So I can hand it over to you.
Yeah, pretty straightforward, really. As I went through it, most of it seemed to be pretty well appropriate to the current mission. The lot was really just changing to the public works.
Clark County Councilors,
they cleaned up some of that sort of political change.
I don't have any issue with the changes personally. I do have sort of a suggestion. And that's on the back was the appendix about the terms of the commissioners. So if that's going to continue to be in there at all, then I'm just wondering, from a suggestion standpoint, since we have 9 commission slots, if we should just call them something like position 1, position 2. It's not relative to geography, but just because for position one, because they have, we have staggered replacement dates, and instead of worrying about which person's name and the particular date, if Jerry was position one, David was position two, Mark was position three, or whatever, yeah. With the expiration date of that term for that position being, then you just fill in the person's name.
Yeah, well, then I think then it would be applicable to reside in the bylaws. But the way this was set up, it didn't seem like it was appropriate to be in the bylaws document. The names of commissioners.
Structure of the commission that, for instance, mine was South County. I'm not sure.
Mine was an at general. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, they have specific in it so that if people wanted to, they had something wanted to bring up, and they would know who to go to rather than just that. Just a number or something like that. They would actually say, oh, why should I go talk to you?
Unfortunately, I think that when we joined, I think that pretty well gone away.
No, Earl had it all the way up until Earl was not here anymore.
Okay.
So.
Because we haven't, in replacements in the last couple of years, we've not adhered to anything associated with these jobs.
Well, I'm not arguing one way or another. I'm just saying that I believe that. Put that in there for the public benefit to provide a contact, for people who were in a certain area so that they would know rather than just, shot down.
Yeah, and Gary, I think it's really appropriate that kind of information is on the website. But I think even to the degree that it's valid, when we have regional preferences, regional assignments, then you probably wouldn't find that stuff in the bylaws typically.
So I guess what you're saying is there's an overall question is, should the term stuff even be in the bylaws? And if it is in the bylaws, what format should it be?
Right.
So let's open. Did anybody else have anything with any of the wording or any of the phrasing? That's on the very back.
Middle of the pack.
Oh. You have to take the, took my paper clip off.
Yeah, and it's been a while since I did this, but I don't recall there being a reference to the appendix in the body of the bylaws. So,
I think
so. Or was it?
Yeah.
Did I take
it?
Oh, okay. Attachment.
All right, so there it is referenced.
It is referenced.
So if it's referenced there, then. If it is an attachment A, then the question is how it's structured.
Yeah.
And I don't know the right way to do it. I'm just thinking from logistically, managerially, if you have some sort of a call position 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, whatever you call it, and then there's a term associated with that position, then when you advertise position 3 with the term of blank to blank, I'm just trying to think about organizations.
Right.
Well, and then who's tasked to keep it up? Who keep the appendix updated if we put the terms in there, right?
Well, if it's the terms, then you don't have to put the names.
Yeah. If it kept a generic position number,
then the name is irrelevant. You just go with that position.
I'm not sure you even need the table at all. I think that you can just say, and you strike one out, appendix A anyway. I think that you can say the commission is made up of 9 individuals and 3 of the positions expire each calendar year. And that summarizes the whole thing because, as you know, in the past there have been commissioners that have dropped out the map due to whatever else is going on in their lives, and we have to find somebody else to come in the middle of a 3-year term. Or, there are other circumstances where it doesn't necessarily have to add more information than just that.
Well, somewhere in the system, though, there has to be a record of the terms for those nine people. That information, eight people, whether it's here, it has to be somewhere as a matter of record.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate that there's just some note about it being staggered term in the bylaws.
So
it's table.
Irrespective of whether it happens to be here, it has to be somewhere, because at some point in time, somebody will need to reference it.
Well, it's right. In our annual report. We spelled out the names. We put the names in the
right.
So that should be correct. It also says in Section 6 that the organization is just the general public. So it's not going to spend the money so much for the roles.
General public opinion's attitudes and needs to diminish. So I hear on the table the discussion as to whether you should have this in there or not, right?
You're talking about the representing stuff.
So yeah, the table.
Oh, the table. On
the
whole
table.
Table.
The table.
I don't know that it hurts, especially this representing. You know, if somebody wants to bring an issue up to the commission or something like that, I think it's handy to have some pointer on who to talk to. Rather than just, you know, shock them. Unless you want to have everything go through the chairman.
That may be more appropriate maybe on the website. I don't know who would find it in the bylaws of the chairman.
Yeah, well, that's quite true. Right? The whole information, though, is just for the public.
Well, the other aspect.
The question is, does it serve the public or not?
The other aspect is that, as Dick had said, we've done a not so good of a job of adhering to what these representation points are in terms of the formation of the commission. And as a function of that, made it actually easier to recruit new commissioners because we don't have to pigeonhole them into a specific box like South County or North County or business owner or agricultural rural or one of those. And as a consequence, made it easier to fill the commissioner spots when they open up.
You know, I agree with what you said. I'm just saying that I have to say that I think that the motive of the reference is for the public. And the question asks, you know, does that happen? You know, does it matter? Do they have any contact to bring it to shore? And if they come to speak to the commission or should it all go through the government? I was saying that. I thought that was the original.
If it wasn't here, where it would go.
it's appropriate, I think, for this the notion of the staggered terms to be in bylaws. The names, what I initially looked at, you know, saw names in there, it was not, you know, you typically don't go and do an annual. I think one of our bylaws we do a biannual review of this, but it's a. But I think we probably could, as a suggestion, keep the table in there, but keep it generic. Position one, position two.
When I read it, that's what staggered me is people could come and go, but the reality is there are 9 positions.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do have a term, okay, right, in each of those, and they are staggered. So that's what caused me to suggest that whatever you call them, I'm just generically using the term position 1 through 9, and then fill in the names on your annual report or on the website, the people that are currently in those, et cetera. But again, for me, if it isn't here where it has been, where does it go? I just want to make sure it's someplace so that it's accessible, it's a matter of record, and it can be found. From a county standpoint, do you have any sense of would they tend to go look at bylaws for that type of information, or would they tend to look at CDA?
I don't want to speak for the county necessarily because I haven't dealt with this before,
right.
But I certainly think that it makes sense to put it, to make sure it's in the annual report.
Right.
And then we do have it on the website, and I'm trying to remember if on the website everyone's term is listed. I can't remember offhand.
Oh,
but
is it?
It is
listed on the website?
Yeah.
Okay.
But a record of that there are 3 to this and 3 in this time, it has to be somewhere.
I think we can do that as a narrative and under F, the length of service. It already addresses under section 4A that there are 9 members. And I think under section 6F, you can indicate that 3 members. 3 members retired at the end of each calendar year. That the term is a 3-year term. That way, you covered it in narrative without having that table for it. And with respect to the individuals that are named, we do that every time we have a meeting of us, or a meeting agenda. So everybody's, so the names are right there every time. And if there's a substantive change, it's handled, not a problem.
So you're suggesting that the table itself is really, it can be written out, spelled out in words, that there are 9 positions, 3 positions each, all terms, 3-year terms, for each position, 3 positions ending each year, staggered.
I thought it was 2 years.
Calendar year, 3 years. Yeah. 3
is it 3?
Positions apply. Or
I was like 2 years.
You're good.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. So when there's an open, you pick up the balance of the open position.
Got it.
Right. Full term. Right.
But a full term is 3 years.
Okay. Well, do we open that after?
These are our bylaws, we own this.
Okay, but I mean, does it?
Okay,
we own that. The fact that everybody has a 3-year term.
Yes.
Okay.
And we own that. And we're working on historical, of course, but if we have the right to change that. But yeah, we own it. So, and in case, of course, this group reports to the county manager. Structure, then the county manager is responsible through Jennifer, the administrative assistant, to post for 60 days, I believe it is, notice to responses. So they have 60 days. Anyway, we own this. It's our right, worded, and spell it out. So I personally would have no objection to not worrying about a table at all. Just coming up with appropriate language.
I think that's better.
to go under Section 6, subsection F, length of service. So it's there that we need to entertain, well, discussion. Is that, does anybody have an issue?
No, I think, yeah, table out and wordage. Moving on.
You want to word something?
Yeah, I can take a stand at it if you guys are okay.
Awesome. Yeah, sure.
Awesome. Yeah.
Just keep it up a bit.
Sure.
Okay. That's fine.
So we're just going to keep this open until the next meeting?
Yep.
Okay. All right. We'll hold this open and come back with any final tweaking of the wording.
Perfect.
And Tracy, if you do have some wording, certainly please do share with Mark.
Just remind you, so we're talking about taking rid of this table?
Yes.
And just putting a description that then, you know, consists of 9 members, of which have, you know,
staggered terms.
Staggered 3-year terms.
Yep. Yes.
I know that. That I really like that. Yeah.
And then in which case, then that removal of attachment A is, of course, appropriate already. All right. So if that's acceptable, then we can keep this open until the next meeting. Get it cleaned up, and we'll be wrapping up our year with an update of the bylaws. We're going to go into the annual report. All right, any other discussions?
And I'll just add that I will also make sure that the questions about the appropriate placement of a table, that I'll make sure to ask.
Yeah, in this case, but I think everybody agrees that the table is irrelevant. The
Right, in the bylaws.
So long as... I guess the only other question for me is, does the county or county administration have anything that is more specific that they believe they need in order to keep accurate track or record or something? I don't know what the right words are. If there's something, then we just need to know that.
Right.
And accommodate it appropriately.
And my guess is that you already are, it's being covered, but I'm just going to double check.
Right. So, anything else on the update of the bylaws? Okay, next item on the agenda is the Clark County Stormwater Manual update from our liaison.
So, basically, kind of as a going off of the sheet, to adhere to Clark County's Phase 1 municipal stormwater permit of the National Pollution Discharge Elimination System, or the NPDES program, the county adopted a stormwater manual that is equivalent to the state's 2014 Stormwater Management Manual for Western Washington. So after that manual that was adopted, there were a number of typographical and formatting errors that were discovered. So you can refer to the attached summary that details the list of all the proposed changes. Many are updated references to links for more information, grammatical errors, typographical errors, omissions that are items that the state manual that needed to be added to be more like the state manual, and then areas requiring more clarification. But it's important to stress that there are no changes proposed to make this manual stricter than the state manual. And so basically there were approximately 90 changes in this list. There are. The majority are grammatical or typographical.
Okay, that's kind of...
Yeah, and 12 of the changes are content language. They revised the content language to better match the manual and the permit together, so that there's no gray area, just to make sure that everything is succinct.
Mainly grammatical, right? What I'm hearing.
But yeah, the majority is grammatical and typographical. And then basically the Clean Water Commission, there's really no actions required of you. It's just to let you know what's going on. This errata update is going to go, they're required to go to the Planning Commission, and they'll be going for a work session October 6th, and then a public hearing on October 20th. Then the project will continue on to the Board of County Councilors. on November 22nd for a public hearing and approval of this these errata revisions. And all of these documents will be posted on the website, and you can attend the public hearings for public comment if you had any. But it's mostly for information so that you know what's going on.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Memory serves me. They permit that we Clark County operates under expired
2018. Is it
2018?
Yeah,
okay.
August of 2018.
All right. So, okay, well, that answers my question. I was wondering if, you know, if we're heading into another manual update because the permits expired and they bring down a whole bunch of new information, you know, on us. Are we, you know, doing something that's just going to have to be immediately turned around and done? So, apparently not.
Yeah, and hopefully, actually, because this is going to bring things more in line with even more in line with the state manual, that then, unless the state manual really changes, hopefully, then that just makes a little less work when we do our update in for 2018.
I believe the state manual only dramatically changes the federal regulations.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. Sure.
Questions? Comments?
Regarding the federal manual, now is that, I guess, I don't know if this is for the open discussion time, but if Washington was going to start testing for lead, wouldn't that come down from the federal? And at that time, would we have to change the manual?
States have, they can do things that the feds aren't, but they have different, slightly different standards, nothing weaker.
Okay.
But they feel stronger.
Would only be, I think it would only be if the Center for Disease Control started requesting, you know, this kind of test that they would have federal bank and which then would go down.
Because I know Oregon was right alongside Washington with not having the test for the Center for Disease Control and the FDA or something like that. But they had a scare, so they started testing. I know we haven't tested since the 70s, like I mentioned last time, but I'll talk about that during the session.
Actually, the Clark County School District, I think almost all of this recently finished.
Did
we?
That's wonderful.
All schools for lead, if not the first one.
That's not true. No. Evergreen, they've had to bag the water fountains.
Evergreen?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Evergreen School District. They bagged the water fountains.
Well, where they were testing it.
No, they had to bag it, and people had to bring in their own water, and kids had to bring in their own water and staff. And what they're doing is, even though the Evergreen School District drafts out of the same supply pipe seal from the wells, that the CO population houses differ water flow, the Evergreen School District is putting in, filter system, massive filter system that way, for each school clean the water up so that they can, because it was not only there's lead, there's arsenic 10 times over the BC.
Yep.
The recommendations are how allowable to work in the water. There was a number of contaminants. The water is below the pH level, it's below the 8.5 that they published in their little sheet that it is, because it's been down to 6, which is acid, which is disease and cancer causing. And so they've had to put filters in the school supply lines to correct that problem so that they can bank the water fountain and then water supplies, you know, that
is there a green water source difference
Vancouver has 11 wells, and these wells are scattered on both sides of the town. But what they do is, depending upon the water quality, we shift the water quality depending upon what the aquifer is testing at, and especially in the summertime, there's a tendency as water levels get lower and lower, it tends to become more acidic, which is very unhealthy water. And so they switch the wells. You might have it out of coming out of one well for a while, and then they'll switch it to another well, and then they go off and cap the fire hydrants and let them spew to kind of flush them out, you know, because the water was not good. Vancouver has way more water problems than Portland does. Portland has much softer water, less chemicals in it, less.
Old run reservoirs, not as high as water. The beer makers absolutely love old run water.
That's water I would have found in my Great Lake. There's a lot of there. But anyway, it's those 11 wells, and they switch them around, and they just hit their west on the river, and they cap off the fire hydrant, turn it on, and so the flush, all that water they found was the low standards out, and then, you know, bring in the water from the well to switch
to.
All right, so it doesn't sound like we need to do anything. This is just to keep everybody informed. If we have anything to say, we can join the rest of the public at a public hearing next time. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the field visit discussion.
Yeah, so I've worked, Dean and I have worked with a couple of our staff members in Clean Water, Carrie Armstrong and Henry Shattenkirk. And so they've come up with, so that we can see a variety of stormwater facilities, that they've come up with these different sites that would be very representative of the vast array of stormwater facilities here in Clark County, and that would be manageable in maybe like a four-hour window, like on a weekday afternoon. And then, so that's, they're mapped, but then they're also each described, the sites themselves, and then definitions on the back of the different types of stormwater water facilities that they are. If anyone has any input or comments, or does that seem pretty clear? And then we're going to need to discuss some dates, which I did not bring with me. I know one of them I was considering was the earliest one would be September 29th. Or going into early October. I don't have the other dates with me, though. But I can email after this meeting.
And if everybody can take a look. If you want to attend, obviously, absolutely not required.
So, we were going on the assumption of a weekday,
right.
And so hopefully that works out for most people. We realized that.
So, for the first time we ever did this, the girls were still with us, we did it on a morning for those who were able to attend and visit us. Although I will say that this is much, much better laid out in detail than we did the first time around.
Oh, really?
It's actually really sharp, but listening to them map and everything else, you're like, wow.
Okay.
In any case, so the intent is that if we can find a date that works for as many as possible,
yeah.
That we can spend that afternoon together,
yeah.
And make the rounds and take a look at facilities. If you want to come, you don't have to. No obligation, no requirement, don't feel bad. I thought it was very useful the first time around to really get a flavor and sense of the kinds of things that we're supposed to be dealing with and concerned with. So that's the suggestion that we take another shot at. So then look for an email coming up, and maybe give sort of a prefer to respond with a first choice, second choice.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great. And I had, I know that there, I had three dates kind of in the, within like a 2 or 3 week time frame. So.
Or just know if you can't make it, or if you actually still want to come at all, say the next. At least they shall know that we're not waiting, that you just don't want to make it, or you can't make it. So, whichever happens, work out for yourself. Thank you for doing that with the board. Next item on our agenda is commission discussion time. So here we get to open up the floor for any items relative to the water that you'd like to discuss.
One thing I want to address is that, of course, first Wednesday in November is just a month before we start changing the date. And typically we have picked the time to start compiling what we're going to put on our annual report.
Right.
And so what I was, I guess I'm asking is all of us, we have our minutes and things like that, but, do we want to start thinking about now, what we're going to do for 2017, do we have all going to change our projects, or do we want to change, other things that we should be advising the counselors on, or the mark the counselors on. What kind of goals or tactics or strategies or anything like that should we be looking at for 2017? Are they the same as we have now? Are they different? What do we see as our vision for the coming year? Same or the same change? That's
so
I would like to.
So the first clean stage in November is 9th. If I count this right. Nice. That will be our next regularly scheduled meeting. So your question is, do we want to get into that prior to that, or do we want to make that the focus?
Well, we have to start watching our 2016 report.
Sure.
And are we going to, should we start putting in there maybe some planning goals, objectives, things like that for the commission to put in front of the county manager and the counselors of what they see us do or what they see us what issues do we see that maybe need to be brought up? What goals should we have based on what we learned? Because I don't know. I'm trying to watch.
I think it was either David or Jeremy that brought that up last time about having a set, something to reach for, a goal, so that way we're actually working towards something instead of do we have something that we're trying to accomplish as far as the outreach, letting the public know, or just having certain things that we're reaching goals. Tangible.
We decided from last year's goals, we're all kind of starting to really build the committees and looking out the partnerships and the research and building that reach. And I think we're starting to get a little further goals in the beginning. I think that's just going to be a good job this year. So I would be happy again to do the report and once start thinking.
We have one mission overall, overarching vision, and that's doing the best we can for the public. And what does that mean? And I think we should define what that means, or at least have a strategy that brings up the subject. And then, how are we going to improve or change or do something that will increase the service to the public? I think that's my opinion. That's what the focus should be, the discussion should be. How can we do more and do it better and give better service?
We can certainly make that a focus of the referendum meeting.
So the reason I'm bringing it up now is to give you a chance to think about it rather where can we exceed your expectations?
One of the things that I gleaned from this presentation that Marie and I did with Green Drinks people is that the members of our community have no clue about what clean water and what stormwater is all about.
Right.
And we're charged with the thought that we would go out and educate the public in some way. I would ask the dean if we can establish a budget for renting larger library rooms throughout the year, maybe once a month, maybe once every 2 months, or an hour or two, and well advertise in the Reflector, in the Columbian, and invite the public to come down and hear the presentation that we have to make so that they can become educated, whether they happen to be business people or whether they happen to be residential property owners. I think that they're remiss, and something's getting missed when, you know, we go out to the eco fairs and we have the booths and we pass out information, but it's haphazard as to whether people are getting the information they need. I mean, we're sort of there, but we're waiting for them passively to show up. And I think that we can make an active attempt at inviting people to a one-hour presentation to come and learn a little bit about what our requirements are, and make that presentation in a way that's more proactive. We're inviting them to come, but we can be much more proactive. And I think that there's a budget for that. Then obviously our time and labor is voluntary, but you know, we might need to rent the room, and we might need to buy some coffee and tea and cookies or something to entice people to come down and just spend an hour with us and get a short dog and pony. And it's not a huge expenditure, but it may be well worth it.
And considering, you know, printing the presentation.
Gary might remember we joined. We had a member, there were still a fair number of people who had been on earlier commissions and gone back some. And I remember the discussion sort of on this topic where they tried for a period of time, some years back, they actually held their commission meetings in different areas of the county. They actually really made a concerted effort to be out in the different areas. And at that time, it made zero difference. They did that. They literally went to different areas to be there. I'm not saying it shouldn't be done. I'm just recounting some information we were originally given.
I think the meeting was trying to do that. Otherwise, we have a lot of people here. You know. And the fact that I really like your idea, because inviting people to like your presentation always sparks questions in the public mind. And if we have the ability to digest those questions and then shove them up to the county manager and the county counselor, so this is what the public concerns are, which serves them too, you know, understanding that. Just having an agenda-driven, you know, meeting like that may not be as much interest as a proactive presentation that sparks interest and sparks questions and things like that to give feedback so that, number one, they have an understanding of what's happening, what the successes and the challenges are, and number two, an opportunity to make input, you know, not that they can't have the speech. speakership. I mean, but you have to have something that sparks those questions. You know, it's kind of when it's
What about possibly a personal Clean Water Commission ad in a different section of the newspaper? I mean, because the county always basically states it's an open, right? But if it was something that was more like, you know, do you worry about where your water comes from? Do you have any questions? Do you want to see what your public servants do as far as, you know, the water that you're receiving? You know, come sit in on a session. You know, just a reminder and just see what happens.
That's a very good idea. Again, the proposal is we have a 16-slide version of a presentation. I think we need to take that on a roadshow.
Okay.
I think we need to enhance it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, when I want to say it was Andrew Locher, the guy that came in last month.
Bob Patterson.
So when Bob Patterson came, he shared some great information about some of the work that he does. And he talked about not only the harmful components of stormwater being heavy metals, fecal coliform, and hydrocarbons getting into the water. Well, we have the Green Drinks presentation, and the gentleman from the hardware store was surprised by that because he tries to be tuned in to the products that he sells out of his Ace Hardware franchise store. And the homeowners might be a little bit more tuned in with respect to the products that they buy if they were more aware of the harmful aspects of what's getting into the... Yeah. And so that's where I'm coming from. And then one of the things that Mr. Patterson talked about was they have some solutions, right? They talked about high school kids putting on car washes and being sensitive to the runoff from the car washes that are containing all kinds of harmful things. He talked about 55-gallon drums having all kinds of pollutants on the top of the drums that can be averted by having a plastic lid that they have available to people that have 55-gallon drums. And a number of other kinds of solutions. And I think this is the kind of information that would be highly beneficial to the public. If they knew it existed and where to go and how to get it, they'd take advantage of it. And I think that if we made a presentation at the Main Street Library at C and Evergreen, if we made a presentation out of Camas Library, we made a presentation out of Battleground Library, and with enough notice in the newspapers, we don't have to do it all at once. We don't have to do it all in 1 week. We could do one every other month. But if there's a small budget for that,
I think we can see what possibilities might arise.
And I know that you, at one time somebody said that the storm water had nothing to do with the drinking water, that they're totally separate systems. Somebody explain that to me.
That's true. So the storm water empties into the streams. The storm water empties into the streams. Everybody thinks that the storm water is connected to the drinking water. It's not. They go down the various watershed streams that go down to the lakes and the Columbia and things like that. That's what the stormwater drain into.
Okay.
So if you have a huge amount of people fertilizing their lawns and pet waste or cattle, like that, it's going to have a lot of nutrients, rich nutrients that promote growth of algae and moss and also contaminate the water.
So where do we get our drinking water?
We didn't get the drinking water out of 11 wells
that are not so spent from springs.
100 to 500 feet down into the aquifer.
Okay.
And half of those are on the west side and half of them are on the east side. And what they do is they don't drink, they don't take out all the wells at once. They sample the water intensely and find which one has got the best water. And then they go open the fire hydrants and they drain out the rest of the water.
And Aquaphor, to my understanding, is a simple self-sustaining system where the it is connected to the lakes and the streams.
Whether you tap into with a well.
So if you got this big sponge.
But it's still filtering through the lakes and streams, rather than
the
wildlife, like through the soil. But it's not what an aquifer means. Like in some way, this still is connected to the streams.
It's under a reservoir.
Okay.
It's an underground river.
Okay.
I mean, you can have islands out here in the ocean that you drill down and you get fresh water.
Okay.
Beyond what maybe the aquifer is 100 feet below the bottom of the salt water.
It's a pool.
But it's like an underground ocean or an underground stream.
It's a closed system. I think the challenge we have is that even though it makes, you know, a very high level, it makes sense that the stormwater is connected to drinking water. I think the thing we have to really be focused on, I think Dean would probably be saying this if he was here, is that the mission of this group really ends with the stormwater.
That's right.
And so our focus, and I really think there's enough to do for us to really be focused on making sure the stormwater and, you know, how it discharges into rivers. You know, we're meeting our responsibilities associated with that. So even though, that's our charter, and so we really have to make sure we stay focused on that. So it's very, very interesting, though, to talk about the cleanliness of water and drinking fountains from our schools.
Yeah, I got confused those.
And that's really an important thing for all of us, but again, it's not part of our charter. So the way we impact that, though, is to make sure that we're taking care of stormwater. Because that's a real big source of focus.
Ultimately, that water which is drawn is filtered.
Correct.
Okay.
Exactly.
The soil. And so retention pond, detention pond, filtration, streams, lakes, etc.
I guess that's one I can do
about it. So even the Green Schools program, though, again, it tends to focus on what we principally focus on, that is it's a runoff. Regular runoff, and how it gets out, and it doesn't really get into now how well purified is the water having gone through whatever filtration.
Right.
And also an issue is that sections of East Vancouver are far less permeable than down there, and so the water doesn't get much filtration at all. You know, and it's running off, and it doesn't really run to the aquifer. So it gets a certain spots where it's more gravel or more sand or something.
What do you mean that it runs the aquifer?
The aquifer is that underground stream, like real well. You know, when you
so the stormwater runs the aquifer?
Or water table.
That's not connected.
Well, because the water has run off, it's going to percolate, but when it gets to the point of starting to percolate, it's out of our hands.
But it's still connected.
Well,
I was wondering.
Water is water.
Okay.
It's just a closed system.
But okay. we only do this part. We don't
gotcha. I know. But it's still good to know that they're connected. You know, I mean, it matters.
Yeah,
I think
it might be really interesting in the tours for us to try to look at some of the treatment systems that exist. You know, so that all of us have an understanding, you know, that the how effective is compost in the same?
Being able to retain control of the water so that it isn't just running off, stripping the surface, and the pollutants that flow directly to the stream, it's collected and gathered where it has a chance to settle.
Yeah.
And the shrubbery and the plants help improve the filtration.
And on that, it's the natural sites, right? The natural resource, the natural landscapes that we need to basically maintain.
It's natural and artificial. There's, you know, there are engineering solutions, you know, where you have stormwater running down a gutter in a street, and it collects into a basin, if you will, that overflows so that there's any trash the things in the county is to go in and suck out that trash and material, keep those clean. So maybe it may be really useful for all of us to see, to have an opportunity to look down and do a
we were visiting up on was it Mount Vista?
Yeah.
So the county has done a fair amount of work in the Mount Vista area because there's pretty steep streets there where the water running down the street in the gutter would pass into an area that had different types of plants in it. It tended to slow the flow of the water and grab it and contain it so that the water swirled and it would tend to drop or
water naturally does.
Well, the solids would settle out.
Right.
And then the water would then flow over, a certain little waterfall, and move on down. And so we looked at examples where that did work, and we looked at examples where
it didn't work so well.
The grasses, the materials, or the neighborhood, or the neighbors took out plants that the county had planted in there because they didn't like them. And then they planted their own stuff, and destroyed it. We even had one gentleman who came out and made a point when we introduced ourselves of saying why this was terrible. It was a failure. It just went on and on. But that was again. The county followed up with him.
It was in our LID training going to in February. Some people will plant their vegetables in those. Which is not a good idea.
Although there's
so,
a compost.
That's a good compost.
But all right, so then, David, to your point, and Jerry, then we will check with Dean and see if raise the topic of discussion of can we use road trip things and can we just use a couple bucks to help, for some coffee, cookies, and then maybe a little advertising.
Well, also rent spaces,
Whatever the pieces are, to do a few of those, at least on travel.
And I just wanted to add that I'm pretty sure the next meeting will actually be November 2nd. You were thinking the 9th. But I believe it's the first Wednesday.
It would have to be the 2nd because the 9th.
You're right.
Next meeting is the
2nd. It's awesome. Gave me a week of life back.
Yeah,
that's right.
By the time we get to the meeting on the date, it's
bigger than 7. Any other general commission discussion? Any other topics you wanted to bring up relative to Stormwater?
Did you want to hear the presentation
from the presenters? Yes. Yeah. Okay, sure. And what we would do is put them on right at the beginning of the meeting. So we're going to use a good share of the November 9th meeting to discuss not only our report, but our strategic planning for the next year. We would put them on.
So this is what her focus is. Getting the word out of the community tree plantings and how our efforts to utilize the street trees to capture the stormwater and the trees runoff. And how we have our planting program and partnership County,
Okay, so maybe using the thought about on our field trip, trying to see if we can find a reporter or two.
Okay, I'll look into that.
Maybe we could just let the Columbian know that this group would be attending that meeting in the presentation in case somebody from the Columbia wanted to get. I'm just trying to grasp attention.
You're actually really good at that. I mean,
we should probably try to deal with both of those situations.
Well, it's just those little blockers in the neighborhood,
those little blurs. So, did she give an indication as to how much time she wants?
No, but I'm sure it's not. It's
like
3 hours.
Yeah, I think she can do it maybe in like 15 minutes.
That's where I was getting at, is to get us to put our schedule together, our meeting agenda, and it would be nice if she had the time frame, how much time they need,
Yeah, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do
it. Okay.
See if she needs any.
Yeah, like,
attend the flight or something.
Any other general commission discussion topics going on? Vice President? We're now back around to public comments. We like those kind of comments. Seeing no other public comments, we shall move on. We're actually down. I'm finishing up. But I just want to make sure, is there anything else that anybody else wants to discuss for him relative to the Clark County Clean Water Commission?
I just want to say, for our last meeting, I ran into some car trouble. I'm sorry there was not a heads-up notice of my absence. So I let you guys know.
By comparison, we have seven. So, quorum plus two. So, no other business.
Well, I do have one. Yes. Kate did a fabulous job on those two meetings that she was there, and I really appreciate. She was kind of nervous, and but she ended up, great open discussion and great progress through the items and drawing out comments and things like that. I really want to shout out to Kate, Dr. Big Dog. She was super.
Appreciate it. We excel in a good job of maintaining the dollars for the sport.
Perfect. You didn't even have to bring Robert in.
As much as we like Kate, though, we missed you.
Yeah. That's my
So I guess a motion to adjourn.
So do I have a motion to adjourn?
I did.
Do I have a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any against? Then we are concluded. At 7:43 p.m.
Thank you. Point of order, you don't need to pull up.
I know. But everybody wants to go call. That's right.